I'd like us to turn tonight to the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah. We're going to look at running from God, something that we've all done, something that perhaps there is somebody here tonight, and you are running like Jonah, or seeking to run from the presence of God. We read in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is a book that fascinates and it also divides many people. Some find it ridiculous, preposterous. How can you possibly believe that there was a fish, a whale, big enough to swallow a man alive, and that he could stay in the belly of the whale or the fish for 3 days and 3 nights and come out alive? It's interesting that very often the same people, they also struggle to believe that the Lord Jesus could be raised from the dead on the third day. The same people struggle to believe that the world could be made with a word in 6 literal days, as the Word of God says. But my friends, if you don't believe Jonah, you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't believe the Word of God, because even the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, confirms the historicity of Jonah, and he refers to him as being a historical figure. More than that, he confirms many of the details. You don't need to turn to it, but Matthew 12, verses 38 to 41. The Pharisees, yes, the Pharisees again, they were asking, they were doubting, they were saying, this person that says he's the Christ, how can we possibly believe in him until he shows us a miracle? We need a sign. We will not believe until we've seen a sign. We need something dramatic. We need the stars to shine in the middle of the day. We need the sky to turn red. We need something unusual and dramatic. And we will not believe. Do you know, many have said that. Doubting Thomas, I will not believe until I've put my hands in the side of the Lord Jesus. But the miracle that the Lord Jesus gave to the Pharisees is this. It's Jonah. He says, there was a Jonah. There was a whale. And he stayed in the belly of that whale 3 days and 3 nights. And he even compares himself to Jonah and he says, there is one here standing before you skeptics, you who demand a sign, and the one who's here is greater than Jonah. He tells them that what happened to Jonah was actually a prophecy. It was a sign. The fact that Jonah stayed 3 days, 3 nights in the whale, something that seems preposterous, ridiculous, and that the fact that it actually happened is what will happen to me. And on the third day, I will rise again. And what seems impossible, a person that was killed savagely, cruelly, the tomb will be rolled away. The stone will be rolled away. And on the third day, I will rise again. And of course, we know that that's what actually happened. Attested by probably 700 people physically seeing, witnessing the risen Christ. Accurate history. Do you know, we're not going to look at it tonight. It's my intention perhaps to look at it this coming Thursday. But in this short prophecy of Jonah, I can see not less than 20, 25 parallels between Jonah and Christ. Some of them are direct parallels. Some of them are opposite contrasts. This is a book of prophecy with only one direct prophecy within it. The prophecy in chapter 3, verse 4, that says, within 40 days, the city of Nineveh that Jonah was sent to go and preach to, with 40 days, it will fall. But it didn't fall, because the people did repent. And the Lord was gracious. He was merciful. He was kind to them. So this is history. And one greater than Jonah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one that we come to tonight. Well, this book, it's a short book. It's got so many themes interwoven through it. There are four chapters. The first two chapters have remarkable parallels to the prodigal son, the one that went far away, the one that went into a far country, the one that did the opposite of what he should have done. But then in chapter 3 and 4, the word of God comes to Jonah again. We won't look at it tonight, but we see again direct parallels to the prodigal, the lost son's older brother, the one who was self-righteous, the one who thought, I don't want Nineveh to be saved. I don't want those vile, barbarous people, the people that hang bodies and heads on sticks. I don't want them to be saved. I don't want them to have the grace and the mercy of God, because Jonah knew that was the heart of God. And so there's a picture of the older brother, the one who thought that he was better, the one that thought it was wrong for the younger son to be received by his father and grace to be shown to that younger brother. It's a wonderful book, written hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ gave the parable of the lost son and his older brother. Well, I want to look tonight. The first verse, we read God's call to Jonah. God's call to Jonah. We read in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came. I just want to pause there. Do you know that's what happens? If anybody is to become a Christian, if anybody is to go to heaven, if anybody is to have their sins forgiven, the word of the Lord must come. It comes in different ways. Sometimes it's very directly. We read in the Bible and one verse, it flashes in front of our eyes. We read it and we see God's voice. We hear God's voice speaking directly to our souls. I'm sure that's the case for some here tonight. Sometimes it's indirectly. It comes through a friend. It comes through circumstances, through the death of a loved one, through a tragedy, through illness, through lying in a hospital bed. You suddenly think, there must be more to life. Is God speaking to me? Is the word of the Lord coming to me? What's he saying to me? What does he want me to do? Well, we read, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah's name means dove, the one that brings peace, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He was the son of Amittai. That means my truth. The dove was to take my truth to the people of Nineveh, we could say. All these words, they have a meaning. This is God's word. Every single word is here for a reason. The word of the Lord came unto the dove, the son of my truth, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Nineveh was in the north. It was a main city where there was a palace of the Assyrian king. It had been there for a long time. Nineveh was a wicked city. It tells us that God in heaven, the wickedness of Nineveh had come up to heaven. The whole of the world is full of sin. But sometimes there is conspicuous sin. Sin that grieves a holy God. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it. This is what Jonah the prophet should have done. Cry against it. Go and preach. Go and bring a message of grace, a message of mercy, a message of forgiveness. Go to this city, for the wickedness is great. It's come to my attention, my particular attention. And God, who is merciful, God who doesn't wish to see any city consumed by sin, desires that the gospel, the good news that we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed, we can be washed, must go to this people. But you know, Jonah knew. He knew that God was merciful and kind. If you have a Bible with you, turn over to chapter 4. Jonah didn't go the first time, you know that. He had to be chastised. But this is the reason why he didn't go. Jonah loved his nation. He loved the people that God had particularly blessed. And he hated. He had a strong disliking for the people of Nineveh. He considered them to be barbaric. And the reason he did not go is here. Verse 2 of chapter 4. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying? When I was yet in my country, he was there in his country called Gath-hepher. Therefore I fled unto Tarshish. Why? Why did he not obey? For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because he knew that God would save the people. He knew that God is so powerful. He knew God's heart is so gracious and kind. It says he knew he was a gracious God. I can't go to Nineveh and take the message. It wasn't that he was fearful, that's what sometimes people say. He thought that he might be killed alive. I don't believe that was it. The answer's there in that verse. He didn't go to Nineveh because he knew the heart of God. He knew that God is so full of grace. He sees a sinner. He sees a city full of sin. And he says, my heart is that you would repent. He says he knew God was merciful. The heart of God was to take the message of forgiveness to this wicked people. He knew that God was slow to be angry. He could have come down in judgment like he did on the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But instead, he wanted grace and mercy to go to that city. And Jonah knew that God was full of great kindness. Four of the qualities of God: grace, mercy, slow to anger, patient, full of great kindness. This is our God. This is the God that we worship tonight. This is your God. This is the God of the people of Nineveh. And that's why Jonah wouldn't go. He wouldn't go because he didn't see that these people deserved to be forgiven. Do you know, none of us deserve to be forgiven. Were it not for the mercy, the grace, the kindness, the patience, of the Lord God. God would not come to us tonight. He wouldn't have called me to stand before you and to bring a message of grace and mercy. He wouldn't have done that. He would have said to you, you've sinned. You've rejected me. You don't deserve my kindness. But God, who is full of grace and full of mercy and full of patience, he says, one more time, one more message, one more opportunity, one more time for you to repent. But God had a plan. And Jonah was not to frustrate the plan of God. Jonah gets up. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Jonah rose up. He runs in completely the opposite direction. He goes down to Joppa on the coast, the east coast of the Mediterranean. He gets a ship and he travels to southwest Spain. It would have been an expensive fare. It tells us, lovely detail, look at it here. Why does it say this? He paid the fare. He did everything he could as a sort of prodigal son to get away. And you know, that's what we do. We'll do anything to get away from the presence of God. We think we can run. We think we can run from God, but the expression goes, you can run, but you cannot hide from God. You think you can run. You think you can hide, but you can run, but you can't hide. Jonah pays the fare. What do? To avoid being in the presence of God or to thinking you can? Do you spend money to entertain your heart, to distract you? Do you come up with all sorts of excuses for why you will not turn and obey the call of God? Jonah went in the opposite direction, and he was to be punished. He was to know great loss. He was to suffer, just like the prodigal son. He went to a far country, 2,500 miles away on the other side of the Mediterranean, almost as far as you could go, in a ship, a big ship. He paid his fare to try and go from the presence of God. You cannot go from the presence of God. God is a spirit. He's not contained in a building. He's not contained in a country or a city. God is everywhere. None of us can escape from the presence of God. We read Psalm 139. If I go down into the depths of hell, behold, thou art there. If I try and go down to the pit, if I try and escape from God, God is there. He knows me. He sees me. He searches me. Jonah did not escape. God came and found him. The Lord sends this great wind. He sends a terrible storm. And Jonah tries to fall asleep in the storm. He's down there in the bows of the boat, in the darkness. He thinks he's escaped. He must have known that storm had come because of his sin, because of his disobedience. The call had come. He'd disobeyed. He'd run from the presence of God. So he thought. And God came and found him. God came and found him in the pit, in the darkness, in the despair. Jonah's prejudice against another nation. Racism, if you can call it that. We have some sympathy for Jonah. They were a barbaric people. You can look in the British Museum and you can see on the clay tablets of how they put heads that they had cut off in war and how they dragged bodies. They put the heads on sticks and poles and they dragged the bodies behind until you could see the sinews, the muscles being stretched. They were a vile people. But so are we, a vile people. Jonah should have gone. He was a prophet of God. He'd already been, you can read it in 2 Kings, he'd been to do God's work. He'd done what God had called him to do on previous occasions. But this time he disobeyed. What will you do when the call of God comes? I don't know how it will come. For some it comes at night. You're lying awake at night, like it did to Samuel. The voice comes once, twice. The third time, you know it's God calling. Will you listen? Will you obey the calling of God? Or will you try and run from his presence? Do as Samuel did. Say those words, "Here am I. Here am I." Let's just look at what happened to Jonah. You know the account. We read it together. He knows his sin. He's told the sailors, he's told them, "I've been trying to escape from the presence of God. I know I've done wrong." And the sailors try every other means. They don't want this man to be thrown overboard. They row as hard as they can. They pray to their own God, but it's to no avail. Jonah has to tell them, "I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, the one that has made these seas that are so stormy and the dry land that we're looking for." And the men were afraid. They knew that God had done this. And they asked Jonah, "What should we do that your God could be calmed and the storm should be stopped? And we might all escape, and that we might be safe." And so Jonah tells them, take me, throw me overboard. I deserve to die. You know, that's true of us. We deserve to die. The Lord could throw us overboard. And he did throw Jonah overboard. He allowed the sailors to take him and to toss him into the deep. A picture of Christ, what Christ did for us. Christ, he went to the deep of Calvary. He went to the darkness of Calvary. He went to the distress of Calvary. He went to the place where death was certain. And that's what Jonah experienced as a picture of what Christ did for me and for you, if you will come and trust in him tonight. He says to them, "Take me up," verse 12, "cast me forth into the sea so the sea will be calm." He was the bringer of peace. He was the dove. And the dove has to be thrown out so that the waves and the storms of life could be peaceful. Look what happens to these men. They see Jonah tossed into the deep. They know that God is real. Verse 16, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly." They're probably heathen men. They worshipped other gods. They worshipped idols. They'd tried to pray to them. And now they come to the one true God. And they offer a sacrifice. Jonah had told them what they needed to do. They needed to pray. They needed to get something, a sacrifice, some food, an animal, something. And they needed to pray to God, and that's just what they did. Verse 16, they made their vows to God there and then. Jonah is in the deep. They weren't doing it to just impress him. These men, they came sincerely. They prayed to God. They knew that they needed to make their peace with God. They came humbly. They feared him. They offered their sacrifice. You need to offer your heart, your mind, your life. And they made a vow And you need to make a vow tonight. You need to say, I'm going to turn from my sin, from my idol worship, from living life the way I've lived it up until now, and I'm going to pledge my life to God. I'm going to trust in Him. And then the storm stops, and all is still. And these men were safe, I'm sure of it. But Jonah is swallowed by the whale. And Jonah has another opportunity. A near-death experience. Maybe he died in the whale. Maybe not. We know he prayed. And the Lord deals with him. And the Lord gives him opportunity. And his purpose is to take the gospel to Nineveh. They will not be frustrated. Jonah goes. And what happens to the people? Every single person in that city is saved. Every single one of them. Not one is lost. The whole city. And you know, every one of the Lord's people will be saved. Every one that the message of life comes to and he speaks to them, and every one that hears it, and every one that turns from their wicked ways, they will be saved, just as the people of Nineveh. But God deals with Jonah, and God will deal with me and with you tonight. If we're far from God, if we're seeking to run from the presence of God, He will deal with us. He'll come and find us. He'll help us. He'll show us the right way. He'll point us back on the direction that we should have gone, back to Nineveh. And so, from the deep, from near death and a wasted life, from darkness, from despair, from distress, there is hope. Jonah, he has a new life. You can have a new life in Christ this night. You can return to your God. You can turn from running away to Spain. And you can come back to your living God, to the one that made you, the one that calls you. When the Word of God comes in your life, in your heart, don't go in the opposite direction. You listen to God, or He'll deal with you. God will not let you go. If you're a child of God, if He speaks to you, if He calls you, if He would draw you to Himself, He will not let you go. But you may have much pain if you carry on running from the living God. And He will have to bring you back. And there may be much pain and much difficulty. Come to Him tonight. Call out to Him. Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale. He prayed to God. And we can pray to God tonight. And God will hear every sincere prayer. Let's pray together. O God, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that God's Word comes. It comes in different ways, but it comes with urgency, and it must be obeyed. We must listen to God. We must go, and sin must be dealt with. Even vile sin, and the Word of God must be listened to. Lord, give us tender hearts tonight to receive the Word of God, and may it be mixed with faith. May we go on our knees and pray even this very night from the darkness of despair. May we come to trust in the living God, and may we repent of our sin from ever thinking that we could run from the presence of God. Lord, may we come to God. May we come into His presence. And may the Lord give us new life, even this very night. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.